Welcome to Off the Cut, a podcast where we talk about building, making,
and answering all of your questions.
I'm Eric from Spensley Design Co.
And I'm Zach from Zach Builds. If you have a question that you would like us to answer on air, you can send it to offthecutpodcast@gmail.com.
You can find both of us on YouTube, Instagram, and unfortunately, because we keep up with kids, you can find us on TikTok too.
All right, now let's get into the show.
You've just entered Off the Cut, episode 98. We're up in Toronto here in Ohio. Today is known as Tuesday, January 16th, 2024, which means the Green Suitors podcast, the worst podcast available on Apple and Spotify, still sucks. But that's it does suck.
KM Tools.
KM Tools, baby.
Mm-hmm. By woodworkers for woodworkers.
Yeah. It's not in their store. If it's in their store, it's in their shop, which means Jonathan doesn't stock his store with a bunch of garbage you don't want. It's all high quality and it's good stuff. Huge selection. Yeah. Can't say enough about Jonathan's store.
And a portion of every sale goes to support the Katz Moses Woodworkers with Disabilities Fund, which
puts
tools in the hands of people with disabilities, which is very awesome.
And you can't say that about a lot of other tool companies. So if you are looking for any tools, sandpaper, router bits, anything, go over to ktools.com and check out the huge selection that Jonathan has got. And, you know, you're supporting the show. You're supporting him. You're supporting all the folks that are benefiting from the Katz Moses Woodworkers with Disabilities Fund, too. So you can feel good about spending an inordinate amount of money on tools.
That's right. You know? You're not buying
but
tools.
You're
supporting charity.
Right.
Thinking about it that way.
Right.
Does his checkout thing have a how do you hear the store thing? Because if it does, you should write in off the podcast.
Oh, I bet it has like notes thing.
Absolutely.
Oh, I bet you it does. Yeah. Ooh. Can we give people something funny to write in the notes? Okay, let's think about this, and we'll circle back on this topic later. Maybe we can put some sort of in-joke in the notes thing that'll make him chuckle when he sees it.
Yeah, okay. We'll circle back on that. But if you want to get a bunch of tools from KM Tools for free, yes, for free, every single month we are giving away a $50 gift card to KM Tools. All you have to do is go over to patreon.com/offthecutpodcast. Join any one of our tiers that helps support the show. You get entered to win a gift card. Don't have to do anything. We let you know if you win. Speaking of that, I got to make myself a note. But anyway, we'll proceed. We'll proceed on with this.
Okay.
Ooh.
So, what you working on? What did you do today?
So, I got back. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to work on this.
Wait. Yeah. Sorry. Let's back up. Can we talk about your weekend?
Yeah, for sure. sorry. I was trying to reach for a pen behind my computer screen. So yeah, bachelor party was this weekend. I mean, people are probably thinking like, oh man, probably was wild. You don't know me.
No. Okay.
You don't know me.
So there was no mud wrestling or anything crazy like that?
No hijinks? Not one bit. No. Well, I mean, there's a little bit of hijinks on the car ride up. We can get in there. But so yeah, we went up to Holiday Valley Ski Resort, which is in Ellicottville. It's just south of Buffalo, which actually Suman, Woodcraft by Suman, he texted me and he goes, hey, like, you're like not far away from me. And this was on Monday when I had already gotten back. And I was like, oh, man, if I would have known that, I would have, like, you know, swung by and grabbed lunch or something like that.
But you should have done I'm shocked that your bachelor party wasn't just packed full of YouTubers and Instagram influencers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because that's exactly what I want to be doing during my leisure time. we went skiing up in Holiday Valley in New York. So you said if there were hijinks, really the only hijinks that occurred was I'll fully admit, I love when people call me the wrong number
And oh, yes.
You better believe I play into that.
Yeah, of course. You have
to. Yeah, you have to. I play into it in a way that is not harmful to somebody, mm-hmm. but is just like, it gives everybody a good laugh, a good chuckle. It's enjoyable.
It's great when you're on a road trip and you're on hour three of just monotonous driving. And
that's where this was.
Yeah, when you get one of these spam calls and you have an audience, it's one of the funniest things. Everybody take note. Next time you get a spam call when you're driving, don't just ignore it. That is a comedic opportunity that's being bestowed upon you.
This gave us so much enjoyment during the whole way there. So yeah. I get this voicemail, and I'll let it play.
Hi, Tim.
Hold on.
Uh-oh.
Stand by.
Technical difficulties.
Okay. And sorry. The iPhone voicemail thing sucks. Okay, here we go.
Hi, Tim. This is Linda McPherson calling again about my title. Honestly, Tim, I don't even know what to say about this because it's just gone on for so long. I bought the car over 2 months ago, still waiting for the title. Now my temporary tag is expired by 2 weeks. So if you wouldn't mind calling me back on this to give me some good news and an update, because hopefully you folks are doing a lot to get this situation resolved, because you have to know this should not be happening. I'm driving around with a temporary tag that's expired by 2 weeks, still no title. And my callback number is 614.
You don't need the number. So
hit the jump button.
So I get this voicemail and I'm like, oh man. So you gotta let it sit for a little bit, right? You can't just instantly call back.
That would be suspicious.
Right. So we're in the car. We're like, what do we say to this girl? What do we say to this girl? And we decide we're going to reply with just something really basic. We're going to text, hey, Linda, this is Tim.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So she instantly sees a message, calls like 6 times in a row. Don't answer, right?
Perfect, perfect.
We let this sit for another like hour and we're like, what are we going to respond with? So then we call her, but when we put like the mute button on, right? So like, even if we're laughing and stuff, nothing happens.
Gotcha. Of course.
So she just answers and goes, hello. Doesn't say anything. Not like, is anyone there? Like, and then hangs up.
Mm-hmm.
Proceeds to call me like 9 times more. And at this point, we're like, we kind of feel bad. So we're like, I don't even know like what to say, right? So we're brainstorming all these different things to say, and like we can't come up with anything funny. And then this is like 3:30. She calls and leaves another voicemail. And then she doesn't even know. Like, apparently I'm not Tim anymore. She was like, I was told to call Tim, but I don't think Tim is the person I talk to. Like, she's confusing herself at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And then we reply to her, Linda, this isn't Tim. After we already said it was Tim. I don't know. We were just having a good time with her. And eventually we were just like, you got the wrong number. I'm sorry. You always telling people that they got the wrong number.
Yes, definitely. I didn't realize that this was a missed call. I thought this was like a wrong number. I thought this was a spam call that you were screwing with.
No, 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 no.
Regardless, it would have been hilarious if you had assigned a role to each person in the car. You pick up your Tim, like, hey, I'm gonna transfer you over to my sales manager, Darren. Then you play the radio for like 30 seconds.
And be like, hey, this is Darren in sales.
Yeah, exactly.
So
was this related to the one you got like a couple months back that you were talking
about?
That's
what I was going to ask.
Oh, I don't even remember.
I think you got a text message a while ago.
The guy that wanted to return something and said that he was going to call the credit card company.
I think it was car related as well. You better check if your phone number is like one digit off from some local car dealership.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Because what are the odds otherwise?
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I don't know. Gives me good fun anyway.
Yeah.
Yes, we headed up there. We had a little fun on the car ride up, just messing around and whatnot.
Did you take your new Ranger?
No, my buddy drove. Are you kidding me? I'm not driving.
Well, I don't know. You got a new car. You might want to take it on a road trip. One of the greatest joys in the world is taking a nice long road trip in your brand new car.
Yeah, but I didn't want to drive.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, and we had four people in one truck. So one of my buddies has got a slightly bigger truck, so it was much easier because then the people in the back seat were more comfortable and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
My back seat is basically like a sedan back seat. Like you can fit, but like. You're not really going to like spread your legs out, right?
Yes. That is one of the nice things about a full size pickup truck is it's like you're essentially in a living room on wheels.
Right.
You'll have like 18 inches, 20 inches of leg room in the back seat. It's crazy.
And all of my friends are like our height. So we're talking like above 6 foot and like nobody wants to sit in a tight seat for, you know, 5 hours.
I hear you.
So we get up there. No, so that's the thing. It like didn't really, I mean, there was mild snow the whole time that we were there, but like as we were leaving, it just like dumped.
My dad was,
the roads were just wet at that point.
I was talking to my dad earlier today. He was like, you hear about Buffalo? Apparently they got a huge blizzard or something.
So. Right. Yeah. And that's what I asked Stuman, and like, I guess where he is, he was like, no, it was fine. So I don't know.
Derek, you got some snow too, didn't you?
Yeah, we actually got a little bit.
Like I saw you posted on social media a photo of your backyard, and then I looked at my backyard, and it was just like green grass out there.
Oh, really?
Like how is it snowing in Texas, but up here in Canada, there's nothing.
Yeah, and it was funny. It's like 2 hours later, all that was gone. It was just melted away. Anything that was in the sun is just gone.
Yeah.
It pisses me off, though, when it's unbelievably cold and doesn't snow.
Yeah. Yes, I'm with you on that. It's the only
I understand the science, but it still pisses me off.
I don't understand the science, and I'm angry about it. It's the only way that the winter is bearable, because if it's just cold and gray, that sucks. But if it's cold and there's like snow on the trees and on the ground and everything, it's all white. It's like, okay, at least I can enjoy. It's pretty to look at.
It's just how depression grows. Like we need to, you know. We need to call whoever's in charge in the government that controls the weather. I don't remember what agency does that. We need to call them and petition, get a whole petition and be like, guys, when it's cold, turn on the snow.
Just crank up the snow a little bit. That's all we're asking. It's not so much, is it?
Right. That's what I'm saying. But no, it didn't snow too much there. We skied pretty much all weekend and then would like take a break and we're like, all right, we're going to go out to dinner. So we like hit up a brewery, got some food, got some tasty beers, went back out skiing. And honestly, it was like 10 o'clock each night. Everybody was like, dude, I'm going to bed. We were so tired. When you're in your 30s and you're literally skiing nonstop from, you know, 9, 10 in the morning till 10 o'clock at night, you are exhausted.
Yeah. It's a full body workout, like a good long ski day. Are you sore today?
I'm always sore. Still sore.
Yeah, because you're using all these muscle groups that you don't normally use to like balance yourself and right yourself and all the controls. It's all like twisty motions. Right. I'm always so sore the next day.
Right, and I regularly exercise too. It's not like I don't exercise and like you know you do a couple push-ups for the first time and you feel like your chest is going to explode 3 days later, right?
Yeah,
like, I'm used to that, but my like shins and ankles and calves are so sore from all just like the, you know, tilting your feet and stuff, snowboarding.
Yeah.
I'm not as young as I used to be, I'll tell you that.
Ooh, just thought of this while you were talking. Good future project. Make your own snowboard.
Oh, dude. I can't think of anything worse than that.
Really? I think it wouldn't actually be that bad. I don't think.
They're not made out of wood, right? It's like a whole like composite resin thing with like impregnated like steel banding around it and stuff.
Yeah, I think the steel banding. Yeah, I wonder how they do it actually. I
bet there's a How It's Made episode.
Yeah, there's definitely a How It's Made episode.
There is.
Why speculate when you can just watch an old rerun of How It's Made?
That's a great
show, though. Right.
It's so funny because you would not think that you could sell that show to a network. It's like, hey, we're going to go to just a factory and we're going to film some stuff. We're going to do a real simple voiceover and it's going to be the greatest thing in the world. The network would be like, get out of here. We need to have like some drama. Where's the friction? Where's the conflict?
We need to they need to open the house. They're going to find more damage in the house than they spent on the home. That's what people want to see. And yes, then somebody's exactly. like, hold my beer. I'm going to set up a static camera in a chocolate factory of somebody just dipping marshmallows into chocolate.
It's like the original ASMR.
Sure, you're right. Yeah, right. It's super satisfying stuff to watch, too. Like, every time you see, like, a tin can get punched out of a sheet of aluminum, you're like, oh, yeah, that's so cool.
I mean, there's really nothing better than punching tin cans.
That's so true. That's so true. I try and tell Sophie that all the time.
That might be the
greatest thing you've seen. Episode where they
punch tin cans.
That's not too bad. But yeah, no, weekend was good. Had a good time skiing, super sore. Had some tasty food, had some tasty brewskis. And it was a great time. You know, nice and enjoyable. Okay. It was relaxing, but fun at the same time.
Okay. And once we're off the air, you can tell me what you really did because you're worried that Miranda's going to hear this later.
No. Have you seen that video of the Mario and Luigi like bachelor party strippers?
Oh, I have actually.
Yeah. Oh, it is so funny.
It's so weird.
It's so weird. Funny. You have like Mario like licking this guy's feet and stuff like that. And for anybody at home listening, this is absolutely not sexual whatsoever. It's fully okay to type it into Google. It's probably on YouTube, and it is so funny. It's like 30 seconds long, but you'll definitely get a good laugh out of it. It's worth watching
for sure.
But I was actually worried because, like, I was worried my friends were going to, like, do something stupid, funny, like, get, like, I don't know, just like weird strippers or something. And I was like, guys, that's not me. Like, I would just be, like, annoyed that you wasted the money on that.
I've been to, I don't know, let's say half a dozen bachelor parties in the last couple of years. Sure. Not a single stripper at one. I think the stripper industry might be in trouble. I just think it's gone out of favor. I don't think a lot of guys do strippers anymore.
Zach wants to help the strippers.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be another episode title, the one where they analyze the stripper industry.
Mm-hmm. There we go. Mm-hmm. That's true too.
So I mean, but that's an interesting point. Like,
it's kind of awkward, isn't it?
It really is, and I can't imagine it's cheap, right?
That's true. That's true as well. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Huh. Wonder what the business like. What are the hours of a stripper? Like, do they have day jobs?
No, they don't need them.
Good question. I mean. Maybe it'd be smart to actually be if you were a stripper to be like a waitress or something like that, because then you could wash the illegitimate cash that you get in your stripping job. You claim it as tip income and then you can get it into the system.
Aren't they all working their way through college? Isn't that the deal?
Yeah, but the problem is you can't pay your college tuition in cash.
Sure you can.
Can you? I always have to like write.
I mean, how else would you pay for it? Because you're saying because you'd have to put the cash in the bank.
That's right, and that's when the IRS gets you.
Yeah, you've thought a lot about this, Zach.
So I know I have.
Laundering your stripper money.
Exactly.
Through
how do you think I got through university?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. What percentage of people do you think that work in a tip job actually report their earnings?
Actually, negative 10%. It's an interesting question you've raised.
Okay, tell me about this.
No, I'm just kidding. I have no idea. But it's got to be approaching zero.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole, but I know so many businesses that are like, hey, if you pay cash or like you just like you Venmo,
yeah,
10% ooh, off.
Venmo too, really? See, oh, Venmo I thought would get you caught. If you're
moving. I don't know. I don't know. That's like why, I mean, if somebody is like, I'm going to give you a discount, I say, okay.
Yeah, I love going to places that have like a 5-10% cash discount. It still saves me money. Mm-hmm. And I got to do something with all the cash I'm getting stripping on the side. So
right.
Win-win.
Well, speaking of stripping,
mm-hmm.
We wanted to highlight some folks that took time out of their day to support our show. And you think I'm going to talk about our patrons. Sorry, Derek, I talked over you. That was my fault.
No, I was adding in.
No.
Saying they took it all off and put it online for us.
Mm-hmm. 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 Oh, that was a much better segue than what I had. And you think this is going to be a segue to talk about patrons and shill ourselves for you to go on patreon.com/offthecutpodcast, but it's not. It's to talk about folks that have gone out of their way to help us grow the podcast in a non-monetary form. What are we talking about? We're talking about reviews. So what we want to do is just highlight some folks that have left reviews because it truly helps us out. Plus, you get yourself on the podcast. So this is from Priceless Pro Designs. Title is Like a Mukbang for Your Ears. So,
and I just want
I'm
going to
pause
out,
here and let Zach. Yeah,
okay.
Take it.
Well, I just wanted to point out before the podcast, we had to, well, Eric had to look up what a mukbang is. I had to explain to him what a mukbang is. And it made us realize pretty quickly that we are in the wrong lane on YouTube. Because for anybody who doesn't know, a mukbang is just a YouTube video. Well, generally YouTube is the format where people sit there and eat food and then talk about their feelings. Or in a lot of cases, they literally just record ASMR of them eating big, disgusting meals. And these people get hundreds of thousands of views, millions of views. And we feel like dopes now.
But seriously, though, like, well, first of all, I thought this was potentially a racial slur, which is why I had to.
That's true.
I had to look it up before I said it.
That's a true story. That's a true story.
But like these people are literally just like eating like a bunch of salmon or like crawfish and they don't say anything.
I think the more disgusting the food, the better.
Right. I mean, if you get 100,000 views on a video, that's what?
Yeah.
About $1,000 in ad revenue?
Something like that. Yeah.
Give or take.
Yeah.
And these people are doing 1 to 2 of these every day.
Yeah. Like, I have a lot of respect for the people who do that and then aren't completely fat.
Yeah, just like morbidly obese from it.
Yeah, well, because you're eating copious amounts of food on a daily basis, like every day, in order to keep up your content thing. Maybe they're all bleeding. Yeah. Maybe they're all throwing up afterwards.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine the gastrointestinal distress that you have from eating all of that? Oh,
it's yeah, and again, it's the more disgusting the food, the better.
Yeah.
So I don't think. Yeah. It's definitely not a career I think you could do indefinitely. I think you have an arc as a mukbanger.
I mean, do people eventually they lose interest? Like, I mean, there are only so many foods that you can eat, or do you like repeat? You know, you're like 70 videos ago, I ate a gallon of chili. I could probably do that again.
Yeah. I also feel like, you know, once you get in it, I'm sure you find variations. It's like, okay, I've done chili before, but have I done chili with chopped up mini hamburgers in it or something like that? Because you know, you could say the same thing about woodworking videos. Like, okay, how many? There's only so many pieces of furniture that you can do.
Valid
shop project. Mm-hmm. But then you get into it, and you're like, oh, you can do all sorts of crazy combinations and stuff.
Yeah. But anyway, segue aside, mukbanging. If you're looking to start,
segue.
Yeah. If you're looking to start your own YouTube channel, consider mukbanging.
Yes.
It is safe for work. Okay. Anyway, review. Priceless Pro Design, like a mukbang for your ears. It's like an hour of listening to a pair of Groucho Marx glasses come to life. Talking to Don LePre, who says, interesting, with only three syllables every 5 minutes, sprinkled with the sound of cans of bubbly getting cracked open.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
we haven't done that in a while.
I know.
I must say, I was instantly hooked. I came for the woodworking talk and stayed because of the 30-minute off-topic tangents about nothing. But that may be due to my ADHD. Hey, we got a fan. Eric and Zach have chemistry like they've been best friends for years. Aww. I guess it probably has been years now.
Yeah, it literally has been years at this point. When was that review post? That was posted in February of 2023.
Yeah, yeah.
So and that was kind of early days.
Yeah. And listening to them makes me feel like I'm part of the gang. Both of them share a wealth of firsthand knowledge from building their YouTube channels and social media presence. As an aspiring creator, the ups and downs and information provided was welcomed and helpful. Do yourself a favor and give it a listen, no matter what you may want to get from it or lack thereof. Hey, 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 this is not the Green Suitors podcast. it's entertaining, and you'd be doing yourself a favor. At worst, at least it's good background noise. I will take that.
Yeah.
Oh, and become a Patreon supporter so you can torture yourself twice as long each week. Come on. You know you're a glutton for punishment.
You got a Patreon plug in there. Well done. Well done.
Hey, that's what we're here for. Mm-hmm. Leave us a good review. Leave us a funny review. Make it five stars. Read them on air.
It's just got to be five stars. We ain't reading anything less.
Right. So, but in all seriousness, that really does help the podcast out if you leave a review. I think that's on Apple. And I think that's on Spotify, Apple. You just click the star, but you can't like write anything. But
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We can't track.
If you want it read on the show, leave it on Apple and we will put it. We'll read it for everybody, no matter how ridiculous it is.
As long as it's five stars, I'll read it. I'll read it. Well, Zach, what have you been up to?
Today I went and got all of the materials I need for my nightstand project.
Oh, I'm excited. Look at this guy getting back into woodworking.
That's right. Getting back into woodworking. Guess how, so I'm trying to think how many board feet of walnut I bought. It's about
two. There are two nightstands.
Two nightstands.
Okay.
I got 4 feet. By 8 feet. So what's that? 4 by 8 is 36, 32. So I got 32 board feet of walnut and one sheet of 1/2-inch walnut ply. Guess how much?
32 board feet of walnut. I'm just going to rough math it here. $10, $320. Sheet of plywood's $150. We'll call it $470. I'm going to add an extra, I don't know, call it $500.
$550.
Okay. Okay. Pretty good. Pretty good. So it was $700, but Canadian. So
oh yeah, okay.
Do the math. And I think you guys are in the right ballpark. You guys clearly buy lumber on a regular basis.
Right.
Yeah.
But is that nuts? Because
nuts. Like that's just enough to make two nightstands.
Right. And so like if you were selling these, you would be like, well, I have to sell these for minimum $1,000 a nightstand. And even then, you're not making much money at all.
And I also spent $150 on undermount slides. Thank you very much, Eric. He forced me to do it.
You're going to like them.
Yeah.
Did you get the clips that have the three-way adjustment on the front?
Sure did. Sure did.
Yeah, they're moderately more expensive and they're so worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, it is nice to be able to micro adjust your drawer faces after they're already mounted because, you know, things move over time. Like my desk drawer fronts, they've shifted and nobody other than me would ever notice this.
No.
But a couple of them are like a 16th of an inch out of alignment. And I'm like, oh, it kills me. I wish I could just, you know, like tweak a little thing on the bottom side of the drawer to pull it back into alignment.
I have a confession. When I go to people's homes, and I know that they have undermount drawer slides and their drawers are like out of alignment, I adjust them.
Ooh.
I can't not do it.
It's like
you go and you put them out of alignment.
Oh, I should. Oh,
that's a fun prank too.
Oh, I'm going to my buddy's house on Saturday, and I think he's got undermount slides. I'm going to just royally F all of them up.
It's like when I go to somebody's house and they have motion smoothing on their TV. I take the remote, I'm like, what are you doing? And I turn it off.
But so, okay, so you got the drawer slides. You got the lumber.
Drawer slides. Got so the lumber.
You're almost $900 in now.
Yeah, $900. And then also I'm going to put a set of LED lights on each one. So there's another $100 per.
Oh, $100.
No, I'm going with nice lights because I've done so many cheap LED lights, and not getting the color white is really hard for a lot of these LED strip companies. And I know the Philips Hue ones actually hit it well. So I just said, screw it. I'll bite the bullet, I'll buy the you know, the high end nice ones.
It's a write-off.
It's a write-off, right? Yeah. I'm also going to put a little power strip so that you can plug things in on the back, and a little USB hub so that you can plug your phone in and stuff.
Ooh,
too.
Yeah.
So probably all in, probably looking at like something like $1,200, $1,100 for right. a set of nightstands. I'm going to make myself. I still had to put in like 4 days worth of time in making.
Oh, yeah.
So good times. Good times.
So you picked up the lumber. Have you started building or doing anything?
No, that's first thing tomorrow morning. I'm going to go in. I'm going to have a nice day in the shop tomorrow because I don't think I'm going to have to film anything. I think I'm going to spend the day milling all the lumber, getting everything ready to go, getting all my ducks in a row. And I cherish those days in the shop when I don't have to film anything because you just get to work like as fast as you possibly can. It's kind of nice.
Right. I get that. That's exciting though, because it kind of gives you the juice. You can turn on a podcast.
Exactly.
You could turn on an audiobook and just go to town.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm gonna do a little bit of CNCing too, because I got some like the back panels of the cabinets are a little I got some like in cutouts in them, and I got a few special things planned for them. So maybe I'll do a little CNCing tomorrow. But even then, it's just, you know, hold the camera up while the CNC does its thing.
Yeah, get a couple random clips and then maybe a time lapse if you really need to.
Exactly.
Is there any 3D printing in this one?
Glad you asked. So I know we talked about putting a, what's the word I'm looking for here? A wireless charger in it.
Yeah.
So one of the problems is, you know, you mill out, you hog out an area where you're going to put the wireless charger, and then you have this big open circuit board on the inside of your cabinet that looks pretty crappy. Yeah. So I was thinking I was going to try and 3D print some sort of cover for that. And then I was also thinking about this. Now, I don't know that I actually have the 3D modeling chops to create what I'm thinking of here. But you know how when you go to a NASCAR track, you know how the corners are banked?
Yes.
So I need to take my LED light strips and have them make a 90-degree corner. And if you've ever worked with an LED light strip before, you know it's a complete pain in the ass to do 90-degree corners. They don't like it. You can't do a hard bend. So I was thinking to make like a slow banked bend and 3D print it in order to give my LED strip lights something nice and easy to tack into. So do you think you could 3D model that?
If I'm not mistaken, I believe on Fusion 360, you know how you can use that, the fillet, like basically the round over.
Yeah.
There's a drop down that allows you to do like an unequal fillet. And you can do like a fillet at like an angle, I think. It might just be with chamfer. But there are like multiple settings that you can do that give you some real funky.
Okay. I will look into that. That's an interesting avenue. I was thinking maybe I could like make the top and I could make the bottom and I could loft and then maybe fillet the infill the loft. I don't know. Anyways, we're getting a little into the weeds on Fusion.
Yeah, look at that in the God, we should get paid for this. That Learn Fusion 360 in 30-day thing.
Yeah, we should contact him.
We really should.
We can maybe be a guest on the podcast. That might be kind of fun.
That could be interesting. There's an episode early on in that. It's called like Making a Paper Clip.
Yes.
That has you do these weird like sweeping commands. Do you think you could use like the sweep command for something like that?
I could make a profile and then try and sweep it. But the problem is the profile would kind of, it would change. It would have to be like, it would kind of have to rotate in 3D space. I wonder.
Yeah. You could always do it on Fiverr.
I could always do it on Fiverr. Yeah, that's the thing. It's because I got the idea because I saw somebody was literally on Amazon selling these 3D printed corners for LED strip lighting.
Just send that to them and say, can you model this for me in Fusion 360 and give me the 360 file? Not an STL. I want the file so I can see the commands that you did and then modify the commands from there.
That's a good idea. Maybe I'll do that.
I guarantee you can find somebody who do it with $20.
Yeah. That's a good idea. Okay. Solved.
So let me ask a devil's advocate question about this radiating the corner there. So you're going from a hard pointy-ish corner on your cabinet or your end table, and then you're going to round it over in the back with the light. Is that going to create like a funky shadow or disbursement of the light at all? Or would it come out pretty evenly from behind it too, you think?
Well, my plan is to put the lights on the back side of the cabinet and then put the cabinet, you know, 2 or 3 inches off the wall. So you're essentially bouncing the light off the white wall and out. So I don't think you would see any sort of, because it's going to kind of, all the lights are going to kind of be crossing over each other and spilling. Right. But it's an interesting point. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to see them around.
Yeah. And then I'm going to also take the LED lights and have them come inside, because I figure anytime you have the lights on in the room, it might be dark. So it make it easier to see the stuff that's in the drawers on the inside.
Oh, no, go ahead.
No, you're good. Good.
So why not? So just one more on that. Why not cut them and do the 90 degree brackets so you get it perfectly on there versus the rounding?
Good question. So they have 90 degree brackets for a lot of LED strip lights. However, for the Philips Hue ones, they don't.
Ah.
So I could make them myself, because you can just cut LED strip lights and then I could solder a wire. I could make my own 90 degree corners, but I was thinking that's like a lot of soldering for not that much payoff. I was like, well, if I could just buy something or 3D print something and save myself having to do, it's like 6 times 4, 48 solder connections. Probably money well spent.
Right. Oh, I didn't even think about this issue. The 90 degree curve. Huh? Okay.
Yeah.
I never thought about that.
And there is a way. This thing about Fusion is that you have to be able to like think in different ways, like different. It's always a problem solving thing, right? So you need to think of like different approaches in how to create certain shapes.
The 90 degree connector, Philips Hue.
Yeah. Huh. Did you find one?
No, it doesn't look at all like what you're trying to describe to me. If you end up finding it, just because I'm curious, throw it in the chat here, and then I can click on it. But
okay,
you know, whatever, it doesn't matter. That's interesting though. So is this light going to effectively be like your like bedside lamp?
Exactly. So I have the lamp sitting on top of it, but I'm like, it's dumb. It takes up space. Why not? Right. Take it and put it on the backside. That's just wasted space otherwise. And it also is nicer because it's an indirect light. So if you want to read or something like that, you get this soft light that's bouncing off the wall rather than this harsh one that's pointed downwards.
Right. And you can make it red or pink. And it'll be very romantic.
Exactly.
You're going to get points for that.
And I'm such a sick fuck. There's the explicit that I have all of my lights scheduled to come on like 30. I think it's a few minutes before my alarm clock goes off in the morning.
Okay.
So they slowly dim on, that naturally wakes me up, and then the alarm clock starts going off. So it's not like a hard
beep, beep, beep. Do you beep, find beep, that beep, works pretty well for you too?
I actually find it works really well for me anyways.
Okay. So now that is a smart function thingy that I can fully get on board for. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I've been doing it for a long time, and it makes a big difference. The only thing that sucks is if you feel like sleeping in that day and then all your lights go on. But then you just, you roll over, you just turn off the lights and go back to sleep. It's not that big of a deal.
I think I need to go to someone's home who has it like smarted out. Mm-hmm. And then that's probably not the way, but in an effective way. Like one of my buddies has like, he's like, oh yeah, I got all the smart lights and switches and stuff. But he'll like walk into a room and be like, Alexa, lights on. Mm. Alexa, lights on. I'm just like, just hit the damn switch.
Switch, yeah.
He's like, no, the switch will mess it up.
See, like, this is why I hear you. I use a lot of smart switches so that I can either press the switch or I can say, Alexa or Google, do it.
Right.
That's why I got the TP-Links, because they can do both.
Exactly. I have my whole house outfitted with the TP-Links. The best is when you're in bed and your partner's like, hey, did you remember to turn off the kitchen lights? And you're like,
oh, yeah, I had that last night.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly, right? And you got to get up. So it's like kind of cold in the wintertime. You're in your boxers or pajamas or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
I got a scene that I run and it just shuts off all the lights in the house. So I don't have to even bother checking.
There's other ones you can do too. Like you can do, you can set up routines with Google Home. So you can say like, okay, I don't want to set people's thing off, but you can say, okay, keyword, good night. And then it'll be like, lock the front door, make sure all the security cameras are armed, turn off all the lights and like do X, Y. You can have it like set to do a bunch of things all at the same time.
That's neat. That's neat. Yeah. But I feel like this could also be an endless pit of money on this smart home stuff that you're spending.
Oh, yeah, of course.
You got to have another hobby, right?
The best one is the automatic lights that come on when you walk in the bathroom. You don't even have to touch the switch. They just sense you're in there and they come right on.
I like that. At my old place, I haven't installed it here, but I had a humidity detecting switch in the bathroom. Yeah. So in case you forget to turn on the old bathroom fan when you're having a shower.
Huh.
Yeah, it's kind of nice.
You guys are just getting my mind spinning on things I don't need to be spending money on.
I think that my favorite smart home thing that I have, though, has got to be the front door lock.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just walk up, fingerprints, unlocks. No fucking.
Are you worrying about some hacker breaking into your home?
No.
Like if you have that Eufy thing or whatever, that company that you did an ad for, that,
But screwed. Here's the thing. Do you know how ridiculously easy it is to break into any home?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not worried about hackers when somebody with like a pry bar could get in 5 seconds too. Like it's actually harder to hack one of these devices than it is to just like kick the side of the door.
Nobody's trying to break into your house without you noticing it. They're going to break in and you're going to know.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Then anybody that's got the wherewithal or the intelligence to go through and hack your smart lock is not wasting their time on somebody's home. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Right? Yeah.
They're breaking down the mainframe of Jurassic Park. Like,
yeah, exactly.
With shaving cream bottles. But do you forecast any potential issues, challenges with the nightstand build? Are you already like, I don't know how I'm going to do this?
I think it's going to, I want to do like a continuous grain pattern the whole way around it. So it's like, I'm going to have like a cube essentially, right? And then drawers in it. So I want to do a continuous grain pattern the whole way around. So I know I'm going to have to be like really, really careful when it comes to cutting those miters. Cause they're long. So I think the nightstands are like 20 inches deep or so. So I'm going to have these big 20 inch miters that are going to be a little tricky to cut.
Yeah.
So, and then to glue that back together is also going to be pretty tricky. So I am a little bit worried about that.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. I can see that.
Outside of that, it would be a little, like, I'm a little hesitant about, like, the undermount drawer slides, just because I've never done it before. I know there's going to be a little bit of learning that comes with that.
Right.
But outside of that, I think it should be relatively straight ahead build.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. Actually, now that I think about it, cutting those miters is going to be annoying, because it's, like, beyond the reach of what my miter saw can do. I think I might have to do it with my track saw or something.
Do a track saw or table saw. So as long as what I would do is the track saw has got a pretty thin blade on it. So I would make the cuts at a 90, don't and bevel then, them, then take the smaller pieces to the table saw and bevel them on each side.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's the correct call. I'll have to be real careful. I have to like label each one so that I don't get them mixed up. Oh, yeah. I'm going to have 8 panels total.
Oh yeah.
So that's going to be fun. But
see, but with these waterfall continuous grain edges, this is a good time to potentially use that, get that domino, Zach.
Yeah, I don't think I could. I don't think there's enough room for a domino, because I'm only using 4/4 material, so not going to be super thick.
Yeah, you'd have to use a small domino.
Could you get a small domino in 4/4 at a miter?
Well, I did it on my media console.
Was that there dominoes in there? Thick?
Yeah.
Okay.
The thing what you have to do is you have to offset the domino, so like the domino is almost at the like innermost corner of
Yeah.
I mean, you got a biscuit joiner too, though, don't you?
Yeah, I think I might just do biscuits. They're a little bit shorter, a little bit easier. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, the same idea. Like, it'll just help you align that edge way easier.
Yes definitely.
And then make sure you got some good clamping calls, like clamping blocks, so you can do that like pressure across the miter joint and stuff like that. Like, get all of that prepped before you put any glue. Like, do a dry fit, like make sure like looks good
for sure. Actually, you know what, so remember last time how we were talking about planning for videos and kind of creating stories? So I actually sat down today before I went to the lumber yard and I created an outline of how I want this video to go. So okay. I have each major point of the video. So let's say like cutting on the CNC is one of the first things I'm going to do. I'm going to get my plywood. I'm going to put it on the CNC and I'm going to cut out the back panels. I have like 2 or 3 bullet points under that I think will be worth talking about in that section of the video. And I did that for every step along the way. So I'm thinking like, okay, this point I'm going to have to do a big panel glue up. I was thinking real quick, I'm going to mention how having a high quality set of parallel clamps makes this a lot easier.
Sure.
It doesn't have to be anything crazy, but I just have at each point in the project, I have a quick idea of something that I can talk about that'll, you know, be a benefit to the viewer.
Like talking about a tip rather than, I cut the boards and then I spread glue on the sides and then I squeeze them together. Like, yeah.
Exactly. Like, and because they're watching you do that, they can see with their eyes what your thing is. So why not take that opportunity to talk about something that's a little bit more useful?
Right. Yeah. I like that. So did you find that this is more work, or does it feel like now that you're going to go into the shop, you're going to be like, well, I already know, I just have to do this. It's more like checking boxes once.
It's more checking boxes. It is. I don't know if it's definitely changing where the work is. Like, rather than having 3 hours of footage in front of me and I'm trying to like, oh geez, what do I talk about in this section? Oh, what do I do here? It's like, I've already thought about it. I already know. So it's going to make doing the actual like voiceover portion of the video a little bit easier. And it'll also inform how I film when I'm in the shop. It's like, okay, maybe I should get some close-up shots, the parallel clamps, because I know I want to talk about parallel clamps here.
Yeah. Makes sense. So, makes sense.
So I haven't done this like this meticulously in a while. So I don't know. I'll ask me at the end of the project. I'll let you know.
Now, do you think you're going to shoot for it? Insanely long, like 50-minute build video, you're gonna hit your usual around 20-ish minutes.
I think I'll hit around 20. I don't know. I should experiment and do a long video and see how it does.
The challenge is keeping it interesting that long.
Exactly. Yeah. I think if I had a video that was legitimately like 30 minutes long, and I cut as much as I could out of it without, like, you know, making it, I don't know, unwatchable or like, like it still made sense, I would post it. But it just kind of happens that by the time I've said all the things I want to say, I usually end up around 20 minutes.
Makes sense. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited to see that. I'm excited to see you, woodwork again.
Yeah. I know. It's been a while, right?
Right. But I mean, like, this will be always talking about. Go after and work on what you're interested in. You had mentioned, like, I really want to get back into woodworking. Exactly. So now you're going to be excited to work on this.
Yes. And there are some, now that I think about the project a little bit, there are some challenges here. So it's going to be fun.
Yeah. Makes sense. I'm excited to see it.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things I wanted to bring up is we got one of our listeners wrote in about what I think is an interesting topic. This is from Marco Antonio Falcone.
Oh,
okay. That's a strong name.
That's a strong name.
That might be a baseball name, but that also might be like,
I was going to say like head of a gang or head of the mob or something. Yeah. Falcone.
Yeah. Or like a really good Italian restaurant.
Yeah, like that's it.
You ever had this guy's lasagna? Anyway, he says, hey guys, new listener here. Well, thanks for joining. Regarding your discussion about getting a CNC to cut MDF templates, which is kind of what we talked about a couple episodes ago. I wanted to make a suggestion, whether for the pot or for your shop. If all you're cutting is MDF templates, you can easily do that with a diode laser. I do it all the time with a $200? It's too small. $200 5-watt Sculpfun S9 laser. It's slow. I don't know. I'm going to have to Google this. It's crazy. Slow, but I seldom do it. If in a shop setting, one of their and another brand 22-watt lasers would blaze through an MDF template, and they're about $500. They'll cut acrylic too, just not clear acrylic. And because they're made out of aluminum extrusion, you can extend them in one direction, the one without the linear rails, really easily. I extended mine to 4 feet in one direction for less than $40.
Wow. Cool.
That's an interesting thought.
Now
that's a tenth of the price of the Shaper Origin.
Oh, true. I didn't even think about it from a cost perspective in that regard. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting.
I wonder how thick you can go with that.
I don't know.
He said 3/4, right?
He didn't mention the thickness.
Oh, I thought I heard 3/4 in there somewhere. I mean, what
you did
what,
say good. Yeah.
Okay.
That's very interesting.
You don't need that thick, especially if you're going to do plastic. If you're going to do acrylic sheet.
Oh, yeah, acrylic. What, 1/4 inch, 1/8 inch, something like that?
I think probably be okay. Although I guess maybe you want something a little thicker just in case it slips off the bearing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's interesting. My only concern was, what's the power consumption of a laser? Do they require a lot of power?
Dude, 5 watts, he said.
Yeah,
it's like 9.
Oh,
I mean, even if you like assume some loss in the system and a little bit for the stepper motors, it's probably like not even cracking double digits.
So it's probably only pulling like a couple amps, if that.
I bet it's less than 1 amp.
I bet it's like running a couple lights.
Yeah.
A ceiling fan and a light or something.
You could probably power that with your battery pack system for, like, it probably run for days on the battery pack.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that thing runs a refrigerator. A refrigerator is going to pull way more power than that.
Yeah.
So exactly. Even with something that small, do I need a fume exhaust system for something like that?
Ooh, that's a good question. I would assume so, because it is burning through.
Yeah.
That's how it's cutting, right? So you're definitely creating smoke.
And I've got to imagine all the formaldehyde in MDF is probably not great for you to breathe, right?
Yeah. But flip side, Well, no, you're going to want to be, I was going to say you could like set it up and like let it go overnight, but you probably don't want to do that.
No.
Would the laser cause the MDF to just like burst into flames if it was too dried out or anything? Or is that even a concern?
I think if it stops in the same spot for too long, that can potentially, it definitely is. I know a lot of the more advanced lasers have cameras that will use like AI to detect if a fire has started. And some of the really nice ones will have a little cartridge of CO2, the sealed ones, and it'll flood the entire chamber with CO2 in order to stop the fire.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
I would love to have a laser.
Just get a like a high-end respirator for when you're cutting.
Yeah. I don't have room for one of those, though. I would have to wall mount it. Like, this little Sculpt Fun thingy seems like a neat idea because it seems pretty small. Like, you could literally hang it on the wall and just, like, set it on some MDF when you're ready to rock.
Yeah. There was one company, I think Christy from Oak Hill had one. It was small. It wouldn't work for what you were saying, but it was like a portable laser that had like a handle on the top, and you literally just like picked it up and put it over the piece that you wanted to cut, and it would just cut it into place.
I saw her video, and I think Suman had one as well that he like engraved like cookies or something.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Oh, that's
neat. Oh yeah, these cutters are pretty dang cheap. $259. Wow.
I need to get into, I don't know, I need to branch out on my tech. The 3D printer, I'm excited to utilize that for some things coming up. But yeah.
Have you got any wood filament for the 3D printer yet?
No, I have not.
I've been wanting to try it. I haven't done it either, but it's been on my list of things to do.
See, I'm already not confident about my skills with a 3D printer, or something's wrong with mine. Like I told you, I had that issue with the supports, like are always.
Yeah, that was weird. We never
still
did solve
never
that,
solved.
Did we?
No,
interesting.
Still have never solved it. I might try like changing the hot end and then see if that helps it. Or
you could try that. I would also rerun like the factory calibration.
I have multiple times.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Dang. I do it where it actually calibrates it before every single print, too.
Well, that's different. That's the bed leveling, right?
Okay.
There's also like a calibration you can do where it does like vibration correction and a whole suite of other things. So see, try like a factory reset on it. The other thing, maybe just contact the guy at Creality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of troubleshooting. Just so damn easy.
That's fair.
And especially because I don't like need it right now. I'm just like, I'll do it later.
Something is definitely wrong with your setup though, because your support should not be that. I remember like seeing your videos that you sent, and it was insane how on there they were. It should not be like that.
Right. And we have the exact same settings, the exact same filament. It shouldn't be drastically different.
Yes, exactly. It should be, yeah.
Marco, thanks so much for writing that. That's an interesting thought, something that I had definitely not considered.
One thing that Marco, maybe write back in and tell us the answer to this question. I remember talking to JCATS probably a year or maybe even more ago at this point, and he was saying one of the things that happens with lasers is because it's lensed, the point that hits the wood is different than the point at the bottom. So basically, like you're lensing down to one specific height, so you end up cutting at a very slight angle. I'm not doing a very good job of explaining this.
So basically what you're saying is, think of the light in the laser comes out as like the tip of a pyramid.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Okay. And then the backside of the wood, like the, you know, like the exit hole is also shaped like a pyramid too.
Yeah. You have a very slight under bevel on the piece.
Basically. Yes. Yes.
But it's very minimal.
So, well, that's the thing. I don't know. I think the thicker the material you're working on, the more pronounced it's going to be. But yeah. It might not, it might just be like, you know, a very small fraction of a degree, or it might be a little bit more than that. I don't know.
See, these are the things that, that intrigue me, that like, if I just had unlimited money and space, I'd be like, well, I'm just going to right now, I'm going to buy a laser and then just mess around with it and learn about it. That's one thing I wish I had more. Well, I wish I had more time, space, and money to just purchase, right? Don't we all? To just purchase the stuff and just take however much time I want to just explore it.
Yes. I think that's
fascinating to me.
The hardest thing about being a YouTuber, if people will permit me to have a, like a huge first world problem, is it's just tough to find the time to explore all the things you want to explore, because you are kind of on this like treadmill of like keep new content coming out.
Right.
And sometimes it's like, well, I don't want to make content. I just want to like play around.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
First world problems. Am I right?
Definitely a first world problem. 100% a first world problem.
You don't have to commute and go in the office, but you don't have enough time to play around with your toys.
I just have so many toys. You don't understand, Eric. It's hell. I have so many toys. I don't have enough time to play with them.
I have so many toys and so much money. I just don't know what to do with it all.
It's the worst. It's.
I wish I could just give it all away.
But there's just so much I could never give it all away. It's such a conundrum. I mean.
now you sound like somebody who listens to the Green Suitors podcast. Available on Apple and Spotify. Well, speaking of people who are...
That's what she said.
Oh, Derek, that was good. I like that one. I like that one. Speaking of people who are joining us in the fight against the Green Suitors podcast, some of our patrons... Returning top tier patrons, we've got Dan Armendariz. That's, I felt good on that one.
That one sounded fluid.
Okay.
You didn't like stumble or hesitate.
No. You say it forcefully and it's, and people will believe you. We got Luke Schmidt, Chris from Black Forest Creations, Josh at Freedom Workshop, Corey Duvall, and Dadu. Those are just some of the folks that are helping support the podcast. Over on patreon.com/offthecutpodcast, they get access to the after show, the Discord, all kinds of other stuff. And tonight, what's tonight, Zach?
It is a big night. It's our BYOC hangout sesh.
Sure is. So we do that once a month for patrons. You get to jump on a video chat with us. We just talk about whatever you want. Answer questions, talk about projects, any problems you're having. We have an awesome time. So if you want to join that, just become a patron. You can hang out with us.
That's right.
It's a blast getting to, you know, get to know the community members and like see what people are struggling with. We learn about new stuff. We always have some good laughs, and it's educational as well. So it's fun. Well, should we head over there now? No, we don't want to keep the folks waiting. Time. Yeah,
I think it's that time. We got a schedule to keep.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Me too. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Remember, leave podcast reviews, tell people about the show, and give us your money on Patreon. That way we can give you Jonathan's money with that KM Tools gift card.
It's circular.
Yeah. It never ends. Everybody, we will catch you next week. And I promise we do have a guest coming. We had another guest have to shift dates for some family conflicts. I promise. Everybody's like, you guys had a big game. You're talking about all these guests that you got.
I know. Well, now what's going to happen is we're going to have back-to-back guests, I feel like.
Yeah, I know.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. All right, everybody, we are going to head over to the BYOC call to hang out with all of our patrons, and we'll catch you guys next week.
See ya.
See ya.